What do evil chickens lay?
What do evil chickens lay? Something to do with eggs. I don't know what.
Deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs.
It's actually funny because they're amazing.
I'll take a deviled egg right now. Delicious evil.
Welcome to Mistakes Dads Make. I'm Nathan Hart.
And I'm David Borden.
And this is a podcast with honest conversations about fatherhood, including mistakes that dads make
and how to redeem them.
We're glad you've joined us.
Welcome back, everybody. It's been a few months since our last recording, about six, actually.
Which is plenty of time to make lots of mistakes.
Oh, yes, plenty of time.
So we're going to have to narrow it down here and just talk about a few of them. I mean, I've made mistakes since breakfast this morning. What about you?
I'm good, actually.
6 months is a long time.
Only like one or two this whole time.
Is that right?
No, don't ask Rachel. That. Please don't ask Rachel.
Yeah, so it's been a while. Sorry, listeners. We don't really have a good excuse, do we? Just kind of got away from us and we didn't, we attempted to sit down and record a few times.
We did.
But here we are.
Yeah.
Finally.
A baby changes things.
That's true. So
that's my excuse.
Welcome to real life. I got middle schoolers, man. They need a lot of transportation all around. You don't hear me making excuses.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
But I'm sure everyone's been, here's a word I don't really like. People use this word as if it's a virtue. Mm-hmm. Busy. Mm. Busy, busy. Oh, you're so busy. That's good. But it's true. We have been really busy. Mm. But that's not necessarily a great thing. I know we're going to get into that here in a few minutes. But so should we talk about some mistakes we've made?
Yeah, go ahead. I want to hear you start off.
Yeah, you want to hear me? Okay, well, so I brought one that's kind of general and one that's more specific.
Got it.
So the general one has everything to do with what we were just talking about, the busyness thing. I actually read an article recently that I myself wrote for the town paper a little over a year ago. Mm-hmm. And the title of the article was, Why Are We So Busy? You might remember a year ago, it was still, we were still kind of coming out of the pandemic for sure at that time. And it was still fresh in our memories that season when everything slowed down and things were ramping back up. And I wrote this article for the paper. And I had all these, images in there, like during the pandemic, I walked through my neighborhood and I saw the beauty of the flowering trees. And now those same flowering trees are just a blur out my side window of my car.
You mean there's trees?
As I'm rushing off to the next appointment. And I put a Bible verse in there from Psalm 127 where it says, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. Mm. Eating the bread of anxious toil. Mm-hmm. Anxious toil is often what we call busyness. Mm-hmm. And we put in a virtue on that. We think like, oh, that's so great. You're so busy. That must mean business is good. Or that must mean things are going well for you and you're productive. And there is obviously some value in being productive. But the eating the bread of anxious toil, isn't that a vivid illustration?
Very, yeah.
I think if the Bible was written today, it might have said eating the Pringles can of anxious toil. You know how Pringles, right? It's like you think they're going to satisfy you. You're hangry. You eat an entire can of Pringles and 30 minutes later, you're just as hangry. What we need actually is what Jesus calls the living water. Mm-hmm. That's what will
satisfy.
Quench and satisfy rather than just working and working and working and working, staying busy, thinking it's somehow going to make us any happier or something. There's a lot of tasks that need to get accomplished, but when you just add so many things to your calendar, I have a hard time saying no. I don't know about you. Hey, here's this great opportunity. Can you come to this dinner? Can you go to this thing? Can you bless our home? Can you speak at the thing? Can you this? And you say, that all sounds great. And you start saying yes to all of it. Pretty soon you're eating the bread of anxious toil. You have that experience?
Of course. And not only do I have that experience with being a pastor and doing things for Jesus, but you also remember my other job is being a chaplain.
That's right.
So when somebody asks me to do something for the army, it's like, oh, do you love your country and love Jesus? Then you better do this X, Y, and Z. And so, I feel almost doubly as convicted about that. So let's talk a little bit about how the busyness connects to parenting and how this leads to mistakes for fathers. How does it work itself out for you?
Well, I think my kids by now are used to not in a good way. They're used to seeing my back walking away from them in the evenings, you know, around 7 p.m. Most evenings I have a meeting to either sign on to on Zoom or leave the house for, or a phone call of somebody I need to call and do ministry for. And, you know, those hours are the best time for me to connect with them because they're home. Their homework's done. And I disappear and do more ministry. And so, you know, I think I do spend a lot of time with my kids, probably more than some dads. But what I never want to happen is there to be a rivalry between the ministry and the kids. And they'll feel that. We've talked about this on previous episodes. But I think even beyond the hours in the day, that eating the bread of anxious toil picture from scripture, you know, the sort of the thing beneath the thing, why do I say yes to so many ministry opportunities? Is it coming out of a place of anxiety, eating the bread of anxious toil? Is some of my toil, some of my work coming from a place of anxiety? And I have to answer honestly and say yes. You know, Jesus himself pulled away. He had many opportunities where he could do the ministry thing or he could go rest. And he went and rested. And that person who needed his help didn't get it that day. And if Jesus could do it, you know, we can do it too.
But for sure. And if Jesus needed to do it.
But I think as it relates to parenting, if I have that root cause of anxiety and it's causing me to work frantically or busily, then that same anxious root is probably affecting my parenting as well. You know, it's being expressed in different ways to my kids. What even if I have all the hours in the day for them, if I clear my schedule and spend a whole day with them, if I'm anxious deep down, if my core is not settled and at peace, I'm not going to be fully present with them. Or I'm going to yell at them when they do something, or I'm going to have fear about their future. I'm going to be anxious. That's not a great place to be as a dad. What do you think about all that?
No, I totally agree with you. It's interesting. You know, when I think about Samuel, I think about what I want to model for him. And when I think about modeling, oftentimes I think about what's most important to me. And obviously as a pastor, I care about the Ten Commandments, right? So I want to model certain things. Like I care about not bearing false witness or lying.
You're about to talk about the Sabbath, aren't you?
I am. You know where this is going.
I can see it coming.
I care about not murdering, right? Or committing adultery. But there's one thing I'm terrible at modeling, and it's the Sabbath. Right? Why do I feel a desire or need to model these other things, but not the Sabbath?
Where's
when God puts
from?
Them, I think it's really what you and I've talked about. It's a little bit of a God complex, right? Like these people need me. When I think the other thought is even scarier for my ego, which is that they don't.
Right.
You got me that book when I first came to this church, The Unnecessary Pastor.
Yeah.
And it's such a scary but true thing, right? God, he doesn't need me. He doesn't. You know, and that busyness that I'm modeling for Samuel, it's just, it's not healthy. And just a small example, right? Samuel, he'll wake up at probably about 6:30 in the morning. And a lot of times I'm the one that wakes up with him because Rachel will get up with him in the middle of the night. And so I'll cook him breakfast. And in the transitions of the first year, right, kids are always changing and they're eating different things or not eating. And I'm thinking about that meeting in the back of my mind. I have to be at 7:30 in the morning, breakfast with so-and-so. So here I am cooking scrambled eggs for the baby, and I sit down with him and I go to feed him. And what does he do? He doesn't eat. He doesn't do the exact thing I need him to do.
And what happens? Late for your meeting.
And what do I do after that? Well, I get angry. And I go wake up my wife and tell her, you need to deal with this child, right? This child of yours. And
this spawn.
It just works its way out so quickly and more regularly than I'd like to admit. The busyness.
So this is the way you would answer this question. This is a mistake you've been making over the last few months. Is how would you like put a headline on that? How would you describe that? I mean, you it just illustrated it for us, but
I would say the mistake that I'm making is I'm living for a resume. I always have that book in the back of my mind, The Road to Character. That book was very influential for me. If you remember, Chuck had us read it a few years ago.
Yeah.
And what I realize, you know, is what David Brooks talks about in the book is some people live for their resume. Most people do. These are the things you put on your resume. Mm-hmm. And some people live for their eulogy, mm-hmm. things people say about you when they die.
Yeah.
Right. And if I really break down my day and I really look at my priorities, I'd have to admit that 85% of the time I'm living for these resume virtues.
Yeah.
So I'd call it the resume mistake
mm-hmm.
because my resume really, it doesn't matter as much mm-hmm. as I think it does.
Mm-hmm.
What I care about is what Samuel will say one day when he steps up and gives a eulogy for me, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he doesn't say my dad was a jerk and rushed me through breakfast and got angry at me when I wouldn't eat.
Right.
He won't remember that, hopefully. But yeah, so the resume mistake.
Yeah.
Sorry, kind of a weird way to put it.
No,
I don't know
no,
if you would give any different language to
no,
it.
No, I think that's really great. And the other thing that's going on in my mind is you can overcorrect on this, right? Like, I think we've talked about this before, but the solution to the resume mistake isn't stop working entirely,
yeah.
stop having a resume so
mm-hmm.
you can just be home with your kid all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like Samuel actually needs you to go off to that meeting on
mm-hmm.
some level because you're earning income.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's harder maybe for people in ministry because you and I can work harder and do more ministry opportunities, but we don't earn any more money if we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if we were small business owners, we could make the excuse, oh, I can't be at this family thing because I'm going to go earn an extra $10,000 for your future, son,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. You and I don't have that. And so I think it's more of like a, maybe this is why pastors talk about this more than business people.
Probably.
Although now I'm wondering with all these work from home dads,
mm-hmm.
you know, it might be similar where they're constantly, you know, they're in their office upstairs and they're hearing the children cry downstairs or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they could bounce from their meeting and go help the wife or not.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a little bit more in your face than it used to be when people were going into their offices.
I would think so. Yeah.
But yeah. Well, so what is the remedy then? Like this is, or what's the redemptions, mistakes dads make and how to redeem them?
Yeah. Well, I would say, Matthew 6:33, which we've probably quoted before on this podcast, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and
mm-hmm.
all these things will be added unto you.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we seek God first, not a healthy church
mm-hmm.
or a great work environment
mm-hmm.
or a perfect family
or a great resume.
These other things fall into line,
mm-hmm.
you know, because like you said, I could seek to be the best father ever
mm-hmm.
in history.
Yeah.
And obviously I would fail at it
mm-hmm.
because I can't do it. And I would probably be exhausted,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the best dad, it's actually not the primary calling of my life.
Mm.
You know, my primary calling is to seek first, you know, God and his kingdom,
mm-hmm.
seek first Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of counterintuitive
because
mm-hmm. I think if you seek first those other things, not only do you miss out on them,
mm-hmm.
but you miss out on the kingdom as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think that's right. And seek first is a great remedy for this problem. I think another one is something you've already said it on this
mm-hmm.
episode, Sabbath.
Mm.
You know, it's amazing to me, the simplicity of the Sabbath and how many problems it solves. You know, taking a whole day off, a 24-hour period, it solves the problem of us thinking we make the world go round.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a 24-hour period, the Earth's going to rotate one full time and we just get to enjoy the ride without doing
uh-huh.
any work. So
it
works on our Messiah complex. It also solves the family time issue because the way the Sabbath is designed is just to be together
mm-hmm.
as a family, spend time together.
Yeah.
So it works on that. Your marriage is, you're going to be there for your wife for a whole day and yeah, it's almost like God knows what he's doing when he gives us the law.
Yeah, right. Just maybe.
Amazing. Amazing.
It's so funny. I saw somebody post a something on social media the other day, and it was a picture of like a traveling rabbi,
mm-hmm.
and he had like a van.
Mm-hmm.
And on the side of it, it had his phone number. And next to it, it said, call 24/6. Right?
That's great.
Right? He's not available 24/7 because he's a rabbi. It. He follows the Sabbath. Right? He's available 24/6. And I think that's just a good lesson for me. You know, I think as a pastor, I think about my job being 24/7.
Yep.
But even if
Absolutely.
I thought about it being 24/6,
mm.
I think that would be much healthier for me and my family.
Yeah. Know? It's like all these people are totally confounded. How is it Chick-fil-A, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're owned by Christians. Yeah. How can Chick-fil-A be the fastest growing restaurant in the world and make, I think it's literally billions of
yeah.
dollars and they're only open 6 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like God knows what he's doing. If he tells us to observe the Sabbath, and we do, it doesn't mean our career is going to be shot. You know, it doesn't mean our business isn't going to operate. We still, he'll give you back all what you missed on that day if you honor him. Well, do you have any? So I have one in mind.
A specific mistake?
Do you have a,
like, yeah,
a
specific mistake? Yeah, let me hear your specific mistake first. Okay. It might jog my memory for some more specific ones for me.
Oh, yeah. I got a number for you, buddy. Should we call Rachel right now?
No, definitely not.
Okay. My specific mistake that I brought for this episode is I made a pretty serious tax mistake that now I'm getting the bill for. And it's a lot. It's a lot of money. So I'm not going to go into all the detail. It would be like an accountant episode. It would be very boring. But it has to do with how the IRS views pastors' salaries and the parsonage and the housing allowance and all that. And the TurboTax algorithm neglected to account for that starting 3 years ago. And I'd love to blame TurboTax, you know, but I have to take blame myself because I liked the numbers they were showing me starting 3 years ago. There was lower taxes all of a sudden. And I was like, I like this. I didn't do any research on it. I should have because now I'm getting the bill. And, you know, it's tens of thousands of dollars, which is a gut punch. Now, fortunately, I had been saving up. You know, I have enough. I can write the check. But what I was saving up for was a down payment to purchase a property somewhere. You know, Nancy and I don't own any, we don't have any equity in a mortgage. So we thought we'd buy like a rental income property in Michigan, which would be great for us for the future. You know, someday when we retire, we'd be able to sell that and have a house. But that down payment just got decimated because I owe this tax bill. And so that's the podcast is Mistakes Dads Make. And I think the reason I cringe, you know, like I said, we're fine. I had the money saved up. But the reason I cringe as a dad, I'm always thinking future orientation all the time. I'm thinking about saving for our retirement, saving for college, setting the kids up well. I'm constantly in the future, at least financially, constantly. And I just feel so, you know, it sets us back on some of our goals. And I feel like I'm doing my kids financial harm, even though Nancy has been awesome through this process. She's really talked me off the ledge about this.
She's good at talking off the ledge.
She talks me off the ledge a lot. Thank you, Nancy. She really does. You know, she's really had to kind of grab my face and look me in the eyes and say, we're going to be okay. You know, this is not the kind of mistake that's going to ruin us financially. It sets us back a few years, but we're going to be okay. And then she reminds me, we owed this money anyway. You know what I mean? It's not like it's a new bill. It's just a delayed bill. So she's been really helpful, but I've been cringing. Just I walk around, just think, oh man, I can't believe I got to write this check to the IRS.
So your kids are in middle school.
Yep.
So have you told them about the mistake with the IRS?
No. They've probably heard me mention it to Nancy.
Okay.
But I haven't like sat them down and told them no.
And have they watched you get frustrated with learning?
I think this goes back to the previous topic. We were talking about anxiety. You know, when you lose tens of thousands of dollars, it makes you more anxious. So I've probably been an anxious presence in the house, which has its effect on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You haven't been living into the fruit of the spirit of peace.
Yeah, well, you know, like Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, when he just describes for us how much he delights in providing for us.
Yeah, look at the birds of the
air.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I haven't been resting in the provision of Christ. Nancy helps me get there. She helped with her pep talks.
Yeah.
With her reminders, she brings me back to that place of peace. So thank the Lord for Nancy. But yeah, no, I've probably been an anxious presence in the home.
Yeah.
Serious tax mistake. I've confessed it now, audience. Now you know. Big mistake right here.
Well, I think, you know, the anxious presence also is connected to the busyness.
Right.
Because busy people are usually anxious people. Right. So the tax mistake maybe hit you hard, but you already maybe were living in some of that anxiety.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Yeah.
And I would say along with that, you reminded me of a few specific examples of things I've done in the past few months. You know, Samuel, obviously he's a little over a year old now. So there's been tons of change. Everything's new to him. And because of my hurry sickness, I'm starting to realize that I'm missing out on a lot of these things that are new for Samuel, which is exciting. It's exciting when your child gets to experience things for the first time.
I know you weren't there when he walked.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Do you feel like that's a mistake you made, or is that?
Yeah. Well, that, so I, as you know, I have a second job and that you love. And I was traveling to Europe, and I felt like, you know, I was traveling to Europe for the Army. And right after I left the house to go to the airport, the same day, Samuel just
took his first steps.
He took his first steps just to spite me. I'm just kidding.
Or to teach you.
But honestly, when Rachel sent me that video, I was really convicted, you know, because I'm like, what else am I going to miss over the next 10 years if I do stay in the Army and get called away? And is this really as important as those things that I could miss? But even when I'm home and I'm there, I still miss things, right? For example, we sat down to eat the other night. You know, we didn't have anything planned for dinner, so I ordered pizza. We get the pizza. I cut up the pizza. I feed the pizza to Samuel, and Rachel walks in after he and I started eating, and she goes, "This is his first time having pizza." And pizza is an amazing thing, right? And I'm not even thinking about how this is the first time my child is experiencing this really
the
wonderful
joy of
thing.
Pizza.
Yeah. And what I realize is the hurry sickness, this living for the resume, I miss out on being fully present. And then I miss out on really the wonder and the beauty of just daily life. Because there's so many beautiful things in life, right? Like your son trying pizza for the first time.
Or taking steps.
Yeah. Or learning a new word, or saying mama or dada. You know, these things are really wonderful things. But when you're in a hurry, you just tend to miss it all. It's a blur. You go on autopilot. You know, and my dad would say this too about himself. He was on autopilot a lot, especially when your kids are little.
Yeah.
It's easy to go on autopilot, you know.
Yeah. I do that too. I think my reaction to what you just said, I totally agree with everything you're saying, and I do it too. And I want to slow down and be present. But I'm a little bit further down the path than you, 10 years or so, 12 or 14 years actually. And I missed Eva's first steps too. I was away with travel for work, and we have this video, you know, Nancy took the video in our New York City apartment of Eva taking her first steps. Such a cute video. But I wasn't there for that either. And it's okay. You know what I mean? Like, I still have a good relationship with both my kids. And I know you're not catastrophizing. You're not saying, oh, because I missed his first steps, that's some kind of harbinger for terrible fatherhood or whatever. So I'm trying to give you a little bit of grace on missing Samuel's first steps, but I'm also totally agreeing with what you're saying about the what did you call it? Hurry sickness? Busy sickness?
Yeah, hurry sickness.
Yeah, so that that is very real and can really affect our kids. It's very, it's nearer than we know, I feel like. The solution is nearer than we know. Slow down. Don't take that extra meeting, that extra opportunity. Those people will be fine without you. Point them to Christ somehow. Get them in touch with Christ, their actual Savior. Spend another minute with the kids. Pay attention, observe. So, you know, Samuel is at the wonderful age where he's experiencing. I love, one of my favorite stages in kids' development is when they point.
he's pointing at everything now.
I love that. I'm a 1 year old. Oh, just look at that tree.
Oh, he points at everything. Yeah.
I love that. And that's really cool of you to say, you know what? I want to experience some of that with my kid. That's part of what being a dad means.
Yeah.
Is just absorbing those moments.
So
those are the specific, is that the one you would think of, is just wanting to be present in those moments? Do you feel like, I asked you this, but missing his first steps, it's not so much a mistake, but it's a missed moment.
Yeah. It's a missed moment that you can't get back.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think it was maybe revealing of just that, what I talked about with that resume thing. It was kind of hitting that on the head. I was already feeling that way.
Yeah.
And that just totally put the nail in the coffin for me.
Yeah.
Driving, you know, in an Uber to the airport.
Yeah.
And my baby is taking his first steps. You know,
literally on your way to Lithuania.
Yeah, right. It's like, you ever have those moments where you're in the moment and you're like, what am I doing?
Why am I here? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I have had those moments when I got the tax bill.
Well, any concluding thoughts?
Well, I want to give a little teaser for our next episode, which I'm really excited about. Do you have a closing thought before I give that teaser? Or like a wrap up? Good theological?
Just apologies for not getting to you guys sooner. It's been 6 months and we hope to be more regular from here on out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's my big, deep theological thought.
If you think about it, the same reason we haven't brought you a new episode is the same reason like you missed his first steps and I'm feeling anxiety, right? It's because we're hurry sickness, busy sickness. So we confess it. You guys have been a product of it because we haven't gotten you an episode. We'll work on it. Slow down. But here's a teaser for the next episode. So I just got this confirmed. We're going to interview a guy named Robert Tracy McKenzie. He's a professor at Wheaton College. He's written this fantastic book called We the Fallen People. And it's a history of the United States. He's very detailed in his history, his historical facts and episodes from the history of our country. But he looks at the history of our country through the lens of sin, of biblical sin. And it's a fantastic read. Right now, I feel like there's kind of two narratives out there. Either America is the best thing ever. It's a city shining on a hill. You can't argue with its supremacy.
Yeah.
Or it's the worst thing ever. You know, it had slaves and all these sins of our past, all these mistakes of our past. He does not fall into either one of those errors. And he looks at it in a very biblical way.
Yeah, it's interesting. And healthy way.
Yeah, healthy. We're going to bring him here to the church in the fall to speak as part of our Christ and Culture series. But before that even comes, we're going to bring him on and interview him. You know, it's Mistakes Dads Make is the podcast. We're going to talk about like sins of the founding fathers, basically. Yeah. We're going to just look at them through the biblical lens. Pretty cool. Can't wait. That should come. We're not going to be able to interview him until I think it's mid to late July. So that'll come probably by the end of the month, July. Get excited for that. Thanks so much, everybody. Really appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to Mistakes Dads Make. Please take a moment and rate this podcast wherever you found it and share it with a friend. We'll see you next time.